If you're standing here, let's go ahead and turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 7. And we've been in the book of Daniel for 6 weeks. And we're now entering into what many call the apocalyptic section of Daniel. And now when I say the word apocalyptic or apocalypse, probably your mind goes a lot of different places. Maybe you think of movies that you've seen like Mad Max or, I don't know, some other ones. Maybe you think of zombies. Maybe you think of world chaos and all sorts of things. And some of those for good reason. But apocalypse or apocalyptic means to reveal something that was hidden. Right? It's like the magician making the trick known, right? It's like a curtain being drawn back and getting a peek at what was behind the curtain. It's this actually the same word in Greek that we use for revelation. The book of Revelation is apokalyptos, right? And it means revealing, making known what is ahead, right? And so Daniel, in these section of scriptures, he's gonna get an apocalypse, right? He's gonna see into the future. God's gonna pull back the curtain, and he's gonna show Daniel, hey, here's what is ahead. Here's what I'm up to. Now, when we hear the word apocalypse, we immediately feel maybe a sense of kind of dread or fear or worry because we don't understand or we don't know. But you see, Daniel was given these not so that he would feel fear and doubt and worry. Why would God tell him what was ahead through these dreams? To reassure him, right? To give him comfort, to give him hope. Because ultimately, God wins, right? That's why God is pulling back the curtain and showing Daniel what is ahead. Now, our chapter today, Daniel 7, Daniel's going to have a dream, a vision. And it really lines up thematically with chapter 2, that Nebuchadnezzar had had this dream about a statue and this rock coming to destroy it, right? And so as we read this today, there's a lot of details, all right? And this is not the day that we're going to examine all the details, right? There's a place for that, right? But today I want you to see the forest. We're not going to look at each individual tree and the undergrowth and the leaves on the tree and the little bugs on all the trees. There's probably a place for that. Today we're trying to see the forest. What's the big picture? What is the main picture that Daniel saw? And this chapter today is meant to give us this overwhelming, majestic view of a God who rules over all, even wild, crazy-looking beasts. And so we're going to see today that this dream shows us that no matter what kingdom arises, no matter how scary it is, how evil it is, how morally terrible it is, it has limits and it ends, and one day God wins, right? That's the main point today. So let's read it together. Daniel chapter 7. All right. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And then as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, arise, devour much flesh. After this, I looked, and behold, another like a leopard with four wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire, and a stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court set in judgment, and the books were opened. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking, and as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, and their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, the clouds, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all of this. And so he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Then I desired to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, and which devoured in broken pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. And I wanted to know about the 10 horns that were on its head and the other horn that came up and before which three of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things and that seemed greater than its companions. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given for the saints of the Most High, and the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, as for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms, and it shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it to pieces. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones and shall put down 3 kings. He shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. But the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away, to be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, and my color changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. Let me pray. God, I thank you that you are a God who has not kept us in the dark, God, but you have chosen in your love and mercy to reveal yourself to us. God, we would know nothing about you or what is to come or what this all means without you revealing it to us through your word, through history. And so I thank you for this morning for your revelation, God, that you desire us to know what is ahead. God, I thank you for the truth that though there will be persecution, though there will be hard times, God, ultimately, your kingdom will win. Ultimately, your kingdom will be established. And ultimately, there is nothing that can stop you because you are sovereign and you are good and you are in control. And so we pray this morning that though these images may change our color and cause anxiety and all sorts of dread and fear, God, I pray for the Christian today that we would hear the good news that you are coming, and through the Son of Man, you will establish your kingdom. You will put down all that is evil, and you will establish your good kingdom for the rest of time. And so we thank you for that good news. I pray that if there's some today that don't know Jesus, that don't have a relationship with you, God, that they would enter into that today. And so we love you. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. All right, so this chapter starts, and it says, in the first year of Belshazzar, right? Now, if you've been paying attention, Belshazzar was chapter 5. Chapter 6, he's died, and we're in the other, Cyrus's reign. And so this is not chronological. Daniel steps back to a time during Belshazzar's reign. And during that time, Daniel had a dream. He had visions, right? And instead of Daniel taking the king's dream and interpreting it, or somebody else's situation and telling them what God was trying to say, this time Daniel's the one with the dream, right? It's important that we recognize the similarities between chapter 2 and chapter 7, and we won't trace all those down today, but remember chapter 2, there was a statue. Anybody with me? Shake your head. Yes. All right, there's a statue, and there's four different kind of sections of the statue made of different metals, right? And then it talks about the last one, there's 10 toes, but what happened in that story, right? There was a rock that came and destroyed all of that and grew into a mountain that filled all the earth, right? And so there's a lot of similarities today. Instead of four different metals, there's four beasts. And in the last one, instead of 10 toes, there's 10 horns, right? But I want you to see the message is the same. It's different imagery. It's different pictures. But the same truth is this. There's all kinds of earthly kingdoms that are going to come. And they're all going to have different strengths, and they're all going to have different things. But in the end, God is going to establish his kingdom. He will rule over all. So this time today, instead of four pieces of a statue, we get four beasts. Four beasts, it says, that come up out of the sea. Now, here's just a little side note, anytime you see reference to the sea in Scripture, the sea was a place of chaos, a place of death, right? It's a picture of judgment and turmoil and all that is bad, right? Right. The sea comes in on the Egyptians, right, and covers them and kills them, right? The sea is a picture of judgment, right? In the beginning, it says that the Spirit of God hovered above the waters, and creation is this picture that God took what was chaotic and messy and broken, and he made it beautiful and ordered and perfect. And so it says here that out of the sea, out of this picture of chaos and evil, the four winds stirred up these four beasts. Now it's important that we recognize that these four beasts are stirred up by who? God, right? The four winds are what God controls, and God stirs them up. And so it's important that we recognize, this is one of the main messages of hope in this, is that God is in control of even the chaos, right? No matter how chaotic the world is, no matter how chaotic and evil and terrible kingdoms and political parties and all sorts of things are, we believe that there is a God who rules and reigns over it all. And he has not lost control simply because something is chaotic, right? God is in control, and he's the one who raises these beasts up. He's the one that gives them their rule and their dominion. See, nothing is accidental in God's world, right? Sometimes we think we're just the product of random chance and evil humans and all sorts of things, but we believe that there's a God who's over it all, that is in control, even today. Though it may seem chaotic, though it may seem evil and messed up, nothing is accidental in God's world. Now, if I was an artist, I would have painted some beautiful portraits of these beasts, but I would have fallen short. So I just want you to put on your imagination for a minute. The first one, it's a lion, right? But don't think normal lion, put some eagle's wings on it. Why not, right? And it's got some eagle's wings, but eventually those get plucked off and he turns into a man. Now, Any of you have scary dreams in here? Anybody have like vivid dreams? Oh, no one's going to confess to it. All right. Liars. I don't know if you've ever had a dream about a lion with eagle's wings, but think scary dream here, because that's what Daniel's having. He's having a dream, and he is terrified of these beasts. That's the first one. The second one is a bear, and this bear has three bones in its mouth. He has already chowed down on something. He's already taken prey, and he's told to go and devour much flesh. Then there's a leopard. I don't think of leopards as scary, but this one has four wings and four heads. I've never seen a creature with four heads. I'm not going near that, right? There's a leopard with four wings, four heads. Now, it's important for you to note as we go through this, each one of these first three, there is some other power greater than it that gives it its dominion, that gives it its power, right? This is the truth that we've seen in Daniel. God is the one who gives. He gave over the kingdom of Israel to the Babylonians. He gave Daniel all of his ability. He gave Nebuchadnezzar his kingdom. He gave that kingdom to Belshazzar. He gave that kingdom to Cyrus. See, God is the God who gives. He's the sovereign one who's over it and all. And this fourth beast, it doesn't tell us what it looks like, right? It doesn't give us an animal or something to compare it to, because it's totally unique. And it says that it's terrifying, it's dreadful, it's exceedingly strong, it has iron teeth, 10 horns. And there's this one horn with these eyes and a mouth, right? This is just wild, right? So this is, you can tell why I didn't draw the picture this morning, right? I don't know how to create 10 and then 1 and all that sort of stuff. And Daniel's going to spend more time on this fourth beast than he does the first three, because it probably represents all that is evil, all of the kingdoms that work against the kingdom of God. Now, many people, and you can go research this, and we're not going to spend time on this today. Many people have gone through and tied these kings to kingdoms that have been in history. And I think most of them are probably accurate, right? That what this king represents this nation, and this king represents that, and this represents that. And that's certainly good. But today, I want us to stay up here. I don't want to get down in the weeds. I want us to see the bigger picture. That there will be many kings and kingdoms that rise, but they will all fall under the sovereign rule of God. In verse 9, Daniel sees this vision of these four beasts. And then the scene totally changes. Verse 9 through 12, we get this vision of a courtroom. We get this vision of like a kingly palace courtroom, right? And it says at verse 9, as I looked, thrones were placed and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. This image of a courtroom with this one called the Ancient of Days. Who is this? Who is the Ancient of Days? This is God himself, God the Father. This is the one who's existed from eternity past. And in God's courtroom, God's palace, right? It's this picture of a judge, but also a picture of a king. It's both. God sits himself down on the throne. And there's thousands that serve him, tens and tens of thousands that sit before him, that are under his rule. And it says that he sat down on the throne. He sat down in judgment, and it says the books were opened. Right? This is God sitting down at the end of all time and going, who did right, who did wrong? Who gets in, who doesn't get in? And what we're meant to see here is this, that no matter what kingdom rises, there is accountability and there is someone that we are responsible to for what we did, right? For how we lived, for what we did with the kingdom, the stuff that God gave us. And we're meant to see here that ultimate power doesn't belong in Babylon. It doesn't belong in Washington, D.C. Ultimate power doesn't sit in rooms in London or Beijing or Moscow. It doesn't sit in school board rooms or board rooms anywhere. Ultimate power is God's. Even though there's enemies, even though there's all kinds of other kingdoms, God rules above it all. And in this courtroom scene, verse 11, and you get the picture, right? The Ancient of Days, there's fire, there's this incredible picture of God himself and all these people sitting before him, listening to his judgment. And out of that, verse 11, I looked because the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking, and as I looked, the beast was killed. It's this picture of this quiet courtroom waiting to hear what the judge has to say, and there's this little bitty horn in the back piping off, right? Mouthing off. He's just talking. He's just spreading lies and saying all kinds of stuff. And the judge looks at him and he just gets rid of him, right? This horn, who's supposed to be the greatest of this fourth beast, is just gone. The beast was killed. Its body destroyed, given over to be burned with fire. And so Daniel gets this picture that though there's all these kingdoms that are going to rise, there's going to be all sorts of evil that exist, in the end, it comes down to a snap, to a, it's over, your time is done, I'm taking it away from you. In the end, God wins. Right, we can get so caught up in end time study, Revelation, Daniel, wherever you go, Thessalonians, all these things. And we get so caught up in the scariness of it. We get so caught up in the persecution and the difficulty, and we need to be aware of that. But this is the point. In the end, God wins. This is meant to give us hope. We're looking behind the curtain to have hope, not to have dread and fear. We're looking behind the curtain to have hope. So how is God going to bring about this victory? How does he just get rid of this final horn? That's verse 13 and 14. It says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion, the Son of Man, is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. So in this courtroom scene, Daniel sees that the horn is put down, and this one, he says, coming on the clouds like a son of man. Coming on the clouds, humans don't do that. That's something godlike, right? But he's described as a son of man. He's both. He's got some divine nature, and he's got some human nature. Now, Daniel didn't see this. He didn't understand, but he knew this is God, and this is human nature. And he's the one who gets all of this. We see moving beyond this. We know who this Son of Man is. Who is it? You can say it. Yeah, Jesus, right? Jesus, fully God, fully man, who put on flesh, dwelt among us, who is now seated at the right hand of the Father, the Ancient of Days. The point of this is this. God's plan to save, God's plan to end all things, goes through the Son of Man. All of God's purposes are found in the man Christ Jesus. Now, this Son of Man, Jesus described himself as Son of Man more than any other way. He didn't call himself the Son of God as much. He didn't call himself anything else. The Christ, he used Son of Man more than any. And he is referring directly to this passage in Daniel chapter 7, 700 years before he existed. Before he came on earth. The Son of Man is the one through whom God is going to win his victory. The way he's going to establish his power and his dominion and his kingdom. All of this is going to happen through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And it says that the Ancient of Days gave the kingdom to the Son of Man. Just as God had given the kingdom to other kings, and he'd given over Israel to Babylon, and he'd given Daniel interpretation, and he gives the Son of Man all dominion. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that will never pass away. The Son of Man is the same rock from chapter 2 that comes and destroys this statue and breaks it to pieces and fills the earth so that all nations, languages, tongues, and tribes would serve him. That's what it says here. His kingdom is one that encompasses all peoples. It fills the whole earth. And so Daniel's getting this truth today as he peeks behind the curtain. God's plan is to save through the Son of Man. That's how he's going to establish his kingdom, is through the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Now, that's an important, when you think about end times, you've got to mark that one down. God's plan is to save through the Son of Man, through Jesus Christ. You can mark down, God wins. But there's some other truths here. And this dream shook Daniel. And more often than not, when we talk about end times or apocalyptic literature, maybe more we go the route of Daniel, of anxiety and fear and worry and struggle. And Daniel, having seen this vision of this fourth beast, he is not liking it. And he goes in his dream, and it says, verse 15, "As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all of this, and he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things." So it's important here that we recognize this. God gives Daniel the meaning of this. We are so tempted to go to this and then go, hey, I think I know what this means. I think I know, this must mean that, and this must mean that, and that little detail there means this, right? And it's important here that we recognize the truth. God tells us what it means. We don't have to wonder, right? We don't get to fill in the details with whatever we want it to mean or what outlandish whatever we can come up with. It meant something to God, and he communicated it to Daniel. He told him what it means. And so he tells him, these four beasts are four great kings who will arise on the earth. After this current kingdom, there's going to be four who come. There's a lion with eagle's wings that turn into a man, a bear with bones in its mouth sent to devour. There's a leopard with four wings, four heads, who goes and swiftly takes over the whole world. And there's this terrifying, dreadful, exceedingly strong fourth beast with 10 horns and one with a mouth that speaks. Now, we could label these different kingdoms throughout the history, but I just want us to stay up here today. Each one of these kingdoms is going to have a time, but ultimately God is going to win. Until then, here's the last truth you probably need to bookmark in your head when we talk about end times. God wins. God's going to do it through the Son of Man. The last one is this. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be struggle. There's going to be difficulty and trials, right, under this fourth beast. So Daniel's intrigued by this beast, and he goes and he asks. It was different than the others. It was more menacing. It was more unique and terrifying. It's violent and ferocious. Now, because of the 10 horns, it probably doesn't just represent one king. It represents a lot of different kings, a series of kings. It probably represents the summation of evil, all kingdoms who stand against God, who stand against God and his kingdom. That last king, that little horn, is going to conquer the whole earth. It's going to destroy all sorts of things in its path. The 10 horns represent all these other kings that are kind of part of that. But this last one is a king who comes, and it says that he has the eyes of a man and he speaks great things. His words are going to sway a lot of people. His words are going to convince a lot of people of things that are not true. This is probably the same Antichrist that we see in Revelation, the one that who comes and deceives many with his words. And this horn, this Antichrist, is a picture of blatant and direct opposition to God himself. Verse 25 says, he shall speak words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. He's going to be in direct opposition to God, trying to woo the saints of God away from God, and he is going to try to wear out. He's going to make war against God's kingdom. He's going to persecute the saints who are in God's kingdom. And it says that he's going to do this, and there's numbers given to it, a time, times, and half a time. He's going to do this all the way until what? Until the Ancient of Days comes. Like, this ultimate picture of evil and not God's kingdom comes, and he has dominion. God has given it to him. And he has a long period of time where he has authority to speak, to sway us away, to persecute the saints. But one day the Ancient of Days will come, and he will sit on his throne, and in that long it'll be over. And the saints will possess the kingdom of God. God will come one day. He will judge and he will defeat all evil kingdoms of this world. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And God's kingdom will be established forever. In the end, we will all submit to God. And so these are some truths. God wins. God's going to do this, his victory through the Son of Man. But there will be persecution. There will be trial. There will be difficulty along the way. And as Daniel sees all of this, he ends in verse 28, and he says, here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, and my color changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. You may feel the same today. Your thoughts may be greatly alarming you. Maybe your colors changed, some of you. Maybe this scares you. Maybe this frightens you to think about persecution, to think about difficulty, to think about all of evil dominating and ruling the world. But you see today, why do we study this? Why does God give us this in his word? Why does he predict this 700 years before Jesus, and it's still applicable to us today, 2,700 years later from this? Why does it matter? Why does God give us this sneak peek preview of what's to come? I've got a few reasons. Number one, to give us assurance. To give us assurance that though there is this battle between good and evil, God ultimately reigns. So no matter what happens this election cycle, no matter what happens in your work, in those power struggles, no matter what happens in world politics and wars and all those sorts of things, this is meant to give us assurance that God reigns, that there is no one who will defeat God. It's meant to help us face our conflict of evil with the knowledge that God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He is in control. There is nothing that exists that God is not in control of. I think we're also given this, number two, to help us not be naive, right? We live in an evil world that's only increasing in evil. There is a reality of evil and a durability of evil that will exist. And though we work against that, ultimately, the only way that that will ever be fixed is what? When the Ancient of Days comes, when God comes. And so we can't be naive. I think it's given to us for a third reason, to help us learn that following God will mean suffering. This is something that we as the American church know very little about. Our brothers in Africa, our brothers in Central Asia, our brothers all over the world know a lot more about this than us because they face it directly in the face every day. But following God will mean persecution. Standing on truth will mean opposition. Evil does not want us to prevail. It will do all it can to wear us out, right? And so this is given to us to learn that following God will mean suffering. This is given to us to help us keep our eyes on God, right? This picture is not meant to cause Daniel to be alarmed and his color to change. This picture is meant to see the Ancient of Days, to see the Son of Man, and to see their victory over these amazingly crazy, wild, evil beasts. And it's meant to be Daniel to see the truth that God wins. We are meant to keep our eyes on God, not on all the evil that's going to happen. And there's going to be a lot of evil. Not on all the political stuff that's going to happen the next 6 months, right? Yes, observe it. Think about it discerningly. But don't think that that's the only thing happening. There is a God who rules and reigns above it all. We're meant to set our hope on God himself, not on political powers, not on earthly kingdoms. And lastly, this is meant to help us know that God will establish his kingdom in Christ Jesus. And the only way we can be a part of his kingdom, the kingdom that rules and reigns above it all, is if we know the Son of Man, if our faith has been put in him and what he did on the cross. He's already started it, and he's going to complete it one day. Amen? Let me pray. God, I thank you for the truth in these words. I thank you for the picture that we get. That you win, that there's nothing too strong, too great for you. There's nothing that exists that you have not given. And so I pray, God, that our eyes would be fixed on you, not on all the evil, not on all the difficulty, not on all persecution, God, but may our eyes be fixed on you. May you give us hope and endurance, God, to believe in the truth, that your kingdom is the kingdom that shall reign forever, that your dominion is the one that will last forever, that your kingdom is the one that will have all nations, tribes, and tongues serving it and worshiping it, God. God, I pray that we would set our hope on you and not in any political party, not in any earthly system, God, but I pray that our hope would be fully on Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross. Because what you started on that day 2,000 years ago continues to grow and to fill the earth. And one day, all evil will be gone. And those of us who've placed our faith in Jesus will experience true forgiveness and life and peace like we've never known before. God, may these words today encourage us and fill us up with hope. May we be those who face difficult days and trials and persecution with hope, God, with an endurance. God, so I pray that you would just teach us more and more about what this means, that your kingdom is the only kingdom that reigns forever. God, may we be citizens of that kingdom and live out the values of that kingdom. God, we love you and we need you. We thank you for all you do. We thank you that you're a God who reveals himself to us. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.